It is interesting to remark that while Gurnahor Harhar was speaking, he was tapping with his left foot on something very much like the transmission apparatus of the celebrated Morse, celebrated, be it said, only on the planet Earth. A few moments later, from the lower part, there slowly arose a small object, something like a box, with transparent walls containing, as it afterwards proved, certain minerals, metalloids, metals, and various gases in liquid and solid states. Then, with the help of various appliances arranged at one side of the table and by means of complicated manipulations, he took out of the box a piece of what is called red copper, put it on the mastic plate before him, and said, "This metal is a definite planetary crystallization, representing one of the densities required for the said stability in the process of the common harmonious movement of all systems. It is a formation resulting from previous processes of the reciprocal action of the parts of the omnipresent Okidanok. Now, I will allow the transformation of this metal to proceed artificially at an accelerated pace by means of the particularities of the same factors. I intend to aid artificially the evolution and involution of its elements, either toward a greater density or, on the contrary, back toward their primal state. So that you may have a clearer picture of the whole experiment you are about to witness, I shall have to give you at least a brief account of my own first scientific deductions as to the causes and conditions that bring about the crystallization within the planets of the three separate parts of Okidanok in one or another of the definite formations I referred to. To begin with, from every non-lawful Jartklam, the separate parts of the omnipresent Okidanok become localized in the medium of that part of the presence of the planet where the Jartklam has taken place, that is to say, in whatever corresponding mineral is there at the moment. Now, if the density of the elements of that medium has an affinity of vibrations with one of the active parts of the omnipresent Okidanok, then, according to the world law called symmetrical interpenetration, this active part blends with the presence of the medium to become an inseparable part of it. And from that moment, the separate parts of Okidanok combined with the elements of the given medium begin to represent the corresponding densities required in planets, that is to say, various kinds of metalloids, or even metals, as, for instance, the metal existing under the name of red copper, which I have just placed in this medium, and where, at my wish, the striving to reblend into a whole of the parts of Okidanok will now proceed artificially. Further, having thus arisen within the planets, these various metalloids and metals begin, as is proper to all arisings in which Okidanok or any one of its active parts participate, to radiate from their presence the results of their inner interchange of substances, according to the universal law called the reciprocal feeding of everything existing, and as is proper to all radiations issuing from surplanetary and intraplanetary formations, the radiations of these metalloids and metals acquire a property almost like that of Okidanok, or of any one of its active parts, present in what is called the center of gravity of all such formations. When these masses of different densities, which have thus arisen in planets under normal surrounding conditions, radiate the vibrations required for this universal law of the reciprocal feeding of everything existing, then, among these vibrations, having various properties, there is established, according to the fundamental law of Tromedkeff, a reciprocally acting contact, and it is a result of this contact which is the chief factor in the gradual change of the various densities in planets. My observations over many years have almost fully convinced me that it is only this contact and its results that assure the stability of the harmonious equilibrium of the planets. The metal red copper that I've just placed in this medium, where I propose to set in motion in an artificial way the active parts of Okidanok, has at this moment a specific density of 444, reckoning from the unit of density of the sacred element Theomert-Melogos. That is to say, an atom of this metal is 444 times denser and as many times less vivifying than an atom of the sacred Theomert-Melogos. Now watch and see in what order the artificially accelerated transformations will take place. Having said this, he put in front of my organ of sight an automatically controlled Tescuano, and then began to turn several switches on and off in a certain sequence, and as I looked through the Tescuano, he gave me the following explanation. I am allowing all three parts of Okidanok to flow into the medium containing this metal, and since all three parts have the same density, and hence the same force of striving, they re-blend into a whole without changing anything in the presence of the metal, and the omnipresent Okidanok thus obtained flows in its usual state through a special conduit out of our apparatus and is reconcentrated in the first container, which you have already seen. Now look, I am deliberately increasing the force of striving of just one of the active parts of Okidanok. In this case, I am increasing the force called cathodnatius, and you will see that the elements composing the presence of the red copper begin to involve toward the quality of other substances composing the ordinary presence of planets. While explaining this, he was turning various switches on and off in a certain sequence. Well, my boy, although I watched everything that went on very attentively, and everything I saw was impressed in my essence forever, I could not now, however much I wished to do so, put into words a hundredth part of what then took place in that small fragment of an intraplanetary formation. Nor shall I even try to do so, for I have just thought of a way of actually showing it all to you, so that you too can soon be an eyewitness of that astonishing cosmic process. Meanwhile, I will only tell you that there proceeded in that fragment of red copper something rather like those frightful scenes among your favorites on Earth that I occasionally observed through my Tescuano from the planet Mars. I say rather like, because what I sometimes observed among your favorites was visible only at the beginning, whereas in that fragment of red copper I was able to observe the whole process right up to its final transformation. A rough parallel can be drawn between what occasionally happens on your planet and what took place then in the small fragment of copper if you imagine yourself high up, looking down upon a large public square where thousands of your favorites, seized with the most acute form of their chief psychosis, are destroying one another's existence by every means they have invented. And then, suddenly in their place, you see their corpses, as you call them, which change color perceptibly owing to the outrages done them by the beings not yet destroyed. And this gradually alters the general appearance of the surface of that large square. Now, my boy, by switching on and off the flow of the three active parts of Okidanok, thus changing their force of striving, this future essence friend of mine, Gornahur Harhar, also changed the density of the elements of the red copper, and thereby transformed this metal into all kinds of other intraplanetary metals of lower or higher degree of vivifyingness. And here, to throw more light upon the strangeness of the psyche of the three brain beings who have taken your fancy, it is interesting and important to note that while Gurnahur Harhar, by means of his new invention, was artificially producing the evolution and involution in density and vivifyingness of the elements of red copper, I noticed distinctly that this metal was transformed at one point into that very metal about which many sorry scientists of your planet have been wiseacring for nearly the whole of their existence in the hope of transforming other metals into it, thus leading astray their already sufficiently erring brethren. On Earth, this metal is called gold. Gold is no other than the metal we call Pritzla Salver, whose specific gravity, reckoned, as always from the sacred Theomert Malogos, is 1,439. That is, today an atom of gold is 3 × 10^{10} times less vivifying than an atom of red copper. The reason I decided not to try to explain in words everything that took place in that fragment of red copper was because I suddenly remembered the all-gracious promise given me by our all-quarters maintainer, the most great arch-cherub Pashtavogner, which will make it possible for you to see with your own eyes indefinite intraplanetary formations, the processes of the manifestations of the active parts of Okidanok. And this all-gracious promise was given me just after my return from exile, when my first duty to present myself to our all-quarters maintainer, the arch-cherub Pashtavogner, and prostrating myself at his feet to utter before him what is called the essence sacred Aliyam Azur Nakalu. I was obliged to do this on account of the sins of my youth. And I was obliged to do so because when I was pardoned by his uni-being endlessness and allowed to return to my native land, certain sacred individuals decided to demand of me, for any eventuality, to have performed over my essence the sacred process in order that I might not manifest myself as in the days of my youth, and that the same might not thereby occur again in the reason of most individuals dwelling here at the center of the great universe. You probably do not yet know what the sacred Aliyam Zurnakalu over an essence means. I shall later explain it to you in detail, but meanwhile I shall simply use the words of our dear Mullah Nasruddin, who explains the process as giving one's word of honor not to poke one's nose into the affairs of the authorities. In short, when I presented myself to his all-quarters maintainer, he deigned to ask me, among other things, whether I had taken with me all the being productions which had interested me and which I had collected from various planets of that solar system where I existed during my exile. I replied that I had taken almost everything, except those cumbersome apparatuses which my friend Gurnahur Harhar had constructed for me on the planet Mars. He at once promised to give orders that everything I should indicate should be taken at the first opportunity on the next trip of the spaceship Omnipresent. That is why, my boy, I hope that everything necessary will be brought to our planet Keratos, so that when we return there, you will be able to see it all with your own eyes, and I shall be able to explain everything in detail practically. And meanwhile, during our traveling here on the spaceship Karnak, I shall, as I've already promised you, tell you in their order about my descents there to your planet, and also about the causes of what is called my appearances there in person.